The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and for the next hour, news you can use to save your good health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
What's on the agenda for today?
Well, you know, over the years, you know, we sometimes allude to why people get sick, and we talk about ways to stay healthy, but an area we never addressed very specifically is infectious diseases.
Well, I think in people's minds, we've got that conquered. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. On the news today, it was reported about a girl that died from being exposed to an amoeba that would probably, you could say, she called amoebic meningitis, or, you know, or encephalitis. You know, they said it was a brain-eating amoeba. They have no treatment or cure, and she died, and she contracted it. They think swimming in fresh water lakes.
Two things with that. It gives us an insight into exactly how contaminated our waterways may very well be. And the other part of it, how we don't recognize the dangers that some of these microorganisms pose to us. On the news last night, I was looking at how the algae blooms contaminating water may be associated with the development of Parkinson's disease, ALS, Alzheimer's, so a variety of brain inflammation based diseases brought about by exposure to these microorganisms.
And, the reason, I decided to talk a little bit about this is because of the tremendous success we're having when we treat people with the ultraviolet blood treatment. And we know what it does. You know, it kills bacteria, viruses, fungus. And yet, the people who are getting better, you know, don't have a diagnosis of any of those infectious diseases. So I decided, and you can Google this yourself, I Googled how many infectious diseases are there. And they have 217 entries on this list.
Identified infectious diseases. So I'm going to say the potential for many of the diseases that we have categorized other than infectious may very well be caused by an undetected infection. And that infection could be bacterial, viral, any number of infectious microorganisms.
Or a parasite.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I'm thinking when we talk about how the ultraviolet blood treatment works, number one, by killing bacteria, viruses, fungi, helps by strengthening the immune system, helps by improving blood flow to all the tissues of the body, and people get better. And I'm saying, well, why should people get better just from doing that? And you can't escape the possibility that we're harboring a lot of these infections in our body, you know, that aren't, putting us in the hospital, but they're just doing enough to undermine our health to make us not feel good. And, the list of all the different problems that are helped with, that treatment, there doesn't seem to be any connection between them, and that yet there so many are helped. So I think the if you connect the dots between all of them, it's probably that they have some infectious component that might have been the trigger for the problem. And remember, too, that when you look at the ailments, the way mainstream medicine has labeled them, it's just a description of the symptom. Think about it.
That's true. There is the idea as well that by so enhancing the individual's immune response, the infectious situation is very easily targeted by the immune system. And it may be just a very general support to overall metabolism that the level of function of all of the different systems and organs of the body, that function is enhanced because of the oxygenation, because of the change to the red blood cells, because of the change to the blood vessel flexibility. All of those things can translate into an overall benefit to function.
So I'll give you an example of some of the conditions that are helped. Fibromyalgia. Now, is that a disease? Is that a symptom? It's really a description. You know, the patient says, I have aches and pains all over. Oh, the doctor says you have fibromyalgia. And he doesn't have a clue what to do about it, except give you drugs, Lyrica, gabapentin, all these drugs with worse side effects than the condition itself.
It's very interesting because I talk to a lot of people who come to me and they say that my doctor has said that I have fibromyalgia. And I say, well, how did he go about diagnosing it? Well, he just listened to me and he said, okay, you must have fibromyalgia. And I said, but there are very specific approaches to that diagnosis to be certain that you have fibromyalgia, that inflammation in specific trigger points. And many times these clients who come to see me have not been truly diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And again, that infectious, viral infectious component could be fungal, could be parasites, could be so many different things that are contributing to the inflammation and the deterioration of function that these people are experiencing. And when you get to address the underlying issue, success.
Exactly. So another condition, lupus. Now, when you ask your doctor, tell me about lupus, he says, well, you've got constellation of symptoms, skin eruptions, joint pain, recurrent pleurisy and kidney disease. When you see that connection with people, you say you've got lupus, and then they categorize it as an autoimmune disease. And yet when you use the ultraviolet treatment and people get better, you say, why is that? Could there be an infectious component there that nobody is really looking for? The same thing is true for rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, Raynaud's disease. I have patients getting the treatment with Raynaud's and they see an immediate improvement. Scleroderma, multiple sclerosis, the same thing. Patients notice the improvement right away. How about some respiratory diseases? And we know there's always maybe an infectious component here, COPD, asthma, emphysema, sinusitis, bronchitis, tuberculosis?
Well, we know in some of those that there are very specific triggers of an imbalance in the immune system. So, once again, when you enhance the function of the immune system, that it properly targets non-self cells, then you have progress.
Now, I can understand why the treatment would also help wounds to heal, fractures to heal, because it's going to improve the circulation to the tissues so the body has the ability to heal.
Oxygenation of those blood cells delivering nutrients to the affected tissue.
But it's also going to help people with chronic fatigue or allergies, neuropathy. So that's, these vague conditions that people have and the doctors don't have an answer to them, perhaps have an infectious component to it that nobody is looking for. Now, I want to just reiterate, there are at least 217 different infectious diseases.
Identified infectious diseases.
Right, exactly, there's probably a lot more. It's just like, how many species of animals are there? And we're always finding new ones. Same thing here. So these are bacteria, viruses, fungi, and parasites. There's so many. And how many do we ever even look for any of them? Not really, unless the person gets sick. In other words, have symptoms. Well, we never look for them before they have symptoms.
Okay, very interesting, yeah.
Can you think of that?
Right.
I'm trying to think. And yet, mainstream medicine chooses to address some of these conditions before they become symptomatic if they have a vaccine to try and sell you. For example, human papillomavirus. That's not an issue unless you have a vaccine to sell, and then all of a sudden it becomes a serious illness that you have to be aware of. I'm just looking on this list where they have the human papillomavirus. But also on the list, you've heard a few of them, but obviously, I don't think people can name more than 10 different infections, and the vast majority of them you've never even heard of. So that's what I'm thinking, is that the fact that we see the improvement in so many things after a treatment that goes after different types of infections and stimulates the immune system to work better suggests that we're overlooking the possibility of infections behind so many of the conditions we face.
That music, Dr. Slavin, means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. To our listeners, stay tuned for more. We'll be right back. Are you feeling bloated? Take a Janigest. Dealing with a little bit of indigestion? Take a Janigest. Had something to eat that you shouldn't have eaten? Take a Janigest. Be certain that you are absorbing the nutrients from all the good foods you're eating with Janigest. Easy to swallow, great to establish good digestion. Janigest. Available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Delicious, fragrant, moisturizing. What is it? Janabomb. The best taste from all organic ingredients to smooth your lips. The best fragrance from all organic ingredients to soothe a bite from a mosquito or no-see-um. Heal your chapped lips. Stop the itch from an insect bite. Just a dab of Janabomb on your lips or on a rash and get relief. Janabomb's great for lips, rash, or insect bite. Find out more at Janazon.com. Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about infectious disease and how many of these issues certainly are going to be effectively addressed with the ultraviolet blood therapy, UVLRX.
And the other thing that made me think about this was the story we told about the teenager, the girl, perfectly healthy, and she got her Gardasil vaccine. And after that, she became very sick. And they were investigating what triggered all these illnesses, because they were saying, oh, it was the vaccine. And of course, the doctor said, no, it wasn't the vaccine. And they determined that she had a lot of...
underlying
subclinical, in other words,
right,
a lot of infections in her body, like we all have, but the immune system had them under control, and they, you know, weren't feeling anything from it. But the vaccine, just that extra stress on the immune system by the vaccine, allowed all these other conditions to become active, and you know, and they found she had some tick-borne diseases, like Lyme, for example.
And her immune system was overwhelmed.
But I want to give you a more common example, because if you think what I'm talking about is far-fetched, I don't know if you are or not. You know, I come from a different...
I am not, Dr. Slavin.
Okay, well,
no.
I come from a different perspective, because I see people all the time with all these complaints, and we don't have an answer for them from the standpoint of getting people well or understanding what's causing it. The answer mainstream medicine has for them is a drug to treat the symptom, but not a explanation for why they got sick. And where I'm going here is when someone has a shingles outbreak. Now, shingles is a reactivation of the herpes zoster virus that's being that's in your body. It got there when you had chickenpox as an infant. It might have gotten there from the chickenpox vaccine. And, you know, you don't have herpes zoster. You know, you don't have the, after you get over the chickenpox, you don't have any symptoms. The virus lies dormant in your body. And then when your immune system is challenged in one way or another, you may have a breakout of the rash that we call shingles, caused by the herpes zoster virus. So there's another example of where the immune system breaks down. Now, what doctors are taught is when someone has a shingles outbreak, they say one of the things you should look for is some kind of malignancy in the body, because we know that's associated with a weakness of the immune system. But I'm just saying, where we harbor a lot of infections in our body, and as long as we're healthy with a strong immune system, we're not aware of it. And then when we get sick, we start looking for things and we find them. But you know what? We only find what we look for.
That's the truth. And if we don't know what we're looking for, a shot in the dark, needle in the haystack, so to speak.
As I said, there are over 217 different infections that we potentially could be exposed to. Now, clearly, not all of them are found in the United States. A lot of them are located, for example, in Africa. I'm thinking, for example, African sleeping sickness, which is brought on by a parasite, Trypanosoma brucei. So, I mean, but a lot of them are in this country, but we don't look for them. And I'm suggesting that we look for them. You know, doctors do look for certain things. For example, if you complain of chronic fatigue syndrome, they'll do some tests. They'll do a test for Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, a few other viruses that might be associated with it. So they recognize that chronic fatigue may be associated with a viral illness. Like I said, not enough to put you in the hospital, just enough to say, boy, I just don't have the energy I used to have, or I don't feel good, or maybe you're suffering from different aches and pains, and you don't have an explanation. You go to the doctor, he says, take Motrin or take Advil, without really looking into what's going on, what's behind it, what can you do to make it better. And of course, these days, you hear about chikungunya. When did you first hear about that one, Jack?
Only here on Natural Doc Radio, Dr.
Really?
Slavin. I've been to Central America and areas where it might be relatively common, but I have never heard of it other than here.
I had a patient from Brazil, and she knew chikungunya, and she knew dengue fever.
I know
dengue. And, of course, Zika is getting a lot of publicity now.
Okay. Now, is it rightfully getting publicity? Is it a frenzy being created by the media? Is there something behind that Zika outrage that's happening?
Well, you know, she agreed with me. She said they never saw microcephaly associated with Zika. They don't see it associated with dengue or chikungunya. The history of Zika is that it originated in Africa around 1946. And the way it was described is you'd have a fever, a rash, some aches and pains, and you'd be over it within a week. If you even had any symptoms, because not everybody exposed to it had symptoms. Then all of a sudden, in Brazil, they're saying it's causing microcephaly, but it's in the same areas that were sprayed heavily with insecticides. And the question is, you know, maybe that has a role.
And it's very interesting that if you are spraying heavily with a specific pesticide, and you do it in a general way rather than a focused way where the particular type of mosquito has been found. If you spray generally, those mosquitoes can have the ability to develop an immunity to the pesticide, making the problem worse. So, you know, we have to be very thoughtful about this.
Now, here's a question I put out to everybody. You have, under the heading of hepatitis, you have hepatitis A, you have hepatitis B, you have C, you have D, you have E. And which one do they have a vaccine for?
Hepatitis B.
That's the B.
Right.
What's wrong with all the other ones? They don't need a vaccine. So they're only interested in looking for the hepatitis B. They have a vaccine for it. And I think that's the one. When they say you have hepatitis, maybe hepatitis C is when they give you all the drugs that they want to use to help that.
Interferon.
Yeah, and then I have a new one with I forget the name of that one. It's a strange name for it.
Okay, so to anyone who has been diagnosed with any one of the hepatitis viruses, you can think about doing the UVLRX, and ultimately you would be able to do blood tests to show that your body has overcome the hepatitis infection. And doing it without any side effects. A lot of the medications typically recommended for these infections have terrible side effects.
Now, here's one I was just curious to look up.
Oh, Dr. Slavin.
The name for it is human Boca virus.
And so that's all of the people who live in Boca Raton may very well have this virus.
And it says it's a parvovirus, and it's been suggested to cause human disease. It can cause a lower respiratory tract infection. It also been linked to gastroenteritis. And they categorize it as an emerging infectious disease. And they're not sure if it causes diseases in humans or not, but the possibility is there. So, I mean, there are a lot of diseases. So the one thing that we need to understand is we have to keep our immune systems as healthy as possible. That's the first line of defense.
Okay, so what are some of the ways that we support our immune system? Certainly, stay away from sugar. Sugar probably paralyzes your white blood cells for up to 4 hours. So the more you stay away from sugar, the better your immune system functions. Then nutrient levels like vitamin D. When the next time you have a blood test, be certain to have a vitamin D level done. And your goal for a vitamin D level is between 70 and 80. Very often, if you get a verbal report about your blood, you get the information that, yes, you're in the reference range for everything, so you're good to go. Well, being in the reference range for vitamin D is not good enough. You could be at 32, 35, even 40, and that isn't what your goal is. Your goal for vitamin D is much higher. Probiotics for your immune system.
Now, remember what we said about the girl that was vaccinated with the Gardasil vaccine and that unleashed a lot of subclinical infections that she was harboring in her body. Now, this Boca virus, in a study from Jordan, found that 9% of the 220 children hospitalized with a lower respiratory tract infection were infected with Boca virus. Could it be that the vaccines given to them weaken their immune system? Of course, in infants, they don't even have an immune system. I don't know why they're vaccinating them. The immune system really doesn't become active till after 6 months of age.
So those babies in that Jordanian study, well, the median age was 4 months. And so very important to understand that there is an identifiable viral component to their respiratory infection.
Well, think about this. We mentioned there's over 200 different potential infections we could be exposed to. And you give the kids, the infants, when they're born, vaccines against hepatitis, and they give them measles, mumps, rubella. You probably get diphtheria, but I don't know how many more, pertussis, polio. I mean, they give all these vaccines.
Over 50 vaccines by the time the child is five.
But how many different viruses are they addressing? 10, maybe 15. You got over 200. So the goal should be keep the immune system strong. Don't selectively vaccinate, because you're not going to protect them against every virus that they come in contact with.
And you're potentially damaging their immune function. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimaroli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute, services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. We are talking about infectious disease, viral, parasites, bacterial, fungal, all manner of different diseases that we understand. We know what the cause may be, but very often, because there isn't a pharmaceutical to address that particular issue, you are not necessarily getting treated. Or the combination of symptoms has been named a disease, but once again, no treatment.
Janet, the World Health Organization put out a press release that states infectious... Now, you said earlier, you know, most people think we've got infectious diseases under control.
Right.
Well,
don't you think that's the perception in the population? We have antibiotics, and so I don't have to worry.
But there's another reason, too. I mean, if you think years back, or maybe you read in the history books about the polio epidemics or the smallpox epidemics or the tuberculosis epidemics and how so many people died, or you go back even further and you have the plague and things like that, and you say, well, we don't see that anymore. We have it under control. Well, the World Health Organization had a press release said infectious diseases kill over 17 million people a year, and they're warning about a global crisis. Nearly 50,000 men, women, and children are dying every day. This is worldwide, not in this country, but they're dying every day from infectious diseases. Many of these diseases could be prevented or cured for as little as a single dollar per head. Now, I'm not sure what they're referring to there, but we know better sanitation, better hygiene, better nutrition, and of course, they're also referring to probably the use of antibiotics, perhaps. I'm not sure what else there are, and maybe vaccinations.
Well, also, I'm going to say water purification techniques, though we may be very critical of some of the approaches that are used, it has made a big difference.
At least 30 new diseases have emerged in the last 20 years and now together threaten the health of hundreds of millions of people. And for many of these diseases, there's no treatment, no cure, no vaccine that they are willing to utilize. That's my own words. There might be effective treatments. I'll give you an example. When you talk about the ultraviolet blood treatment, it's even been reported that it cured somebody with rabies.
Wow.
Now, we're being told that once the symptoms of rabies become apparent, it's an automatic death sentence. We have nothing at that stage to help the patient, and yet the ultraviolet treatment helped. The World Health Organization goes on to say that we're standing on the brink of a global crisis in infectious diseases, and no country is safe. And Zika is a good example. Zika was confined to Africa. How did it spread? Well, when they had the soccer tournament several years back in Brazil, the teams from Africa, they say, probably brought it over, spectators brought it over.
Global commerce. We have all kinds of shipping, truly, around the world.
And they go on to say some of the major diseases that we're familiar with, like cholera, malaria, and tuberculosis, are making a deadly comeback in many parts of the world, despite being preventable or treatable. And at the same time, many new and highly infectious diseases, such as AIDS, Ebola, and they go on to say both of which are incurable.
Isn't that interesting that the World Health Organization categorizes those two as incurable? And my guess is you could find individuals who would be examples of that being an incorrect statement.
Well, the ultraviolet treatments have been shown to cure those diseases. In fact, I remember Dr. Robert Rowan,
mm-hmm.
you may have heard that name, big proponent of oxidative therapies, namely ultraviolet blood treatments. Either he or someone that worked with him went to Africa to treat Ebola with that treatment.
Okay, now I have a question. What do you think, Dr. Slavin, with regard to HIV? Would you simply reduce the viral antibody level to a certain number and then categorize that as a cure? Would you just totally test for the viral presence and eradicate that? Talk a little bit, if you will, about that virus and how the ultraviolet therapy would affect it.
Well, what they're observing with that treatment is two things. The ultraviolet light directly kills viruses and bacteria and fungus and
parasites.
But the other thing they're observing, too, is that the body is able, because of the enhancement in immune function, the body also develops more antibodies against these infectious diseases. So it helps in two ways. It reduces the number, and it also helps the body make antibodies. So that's how it people feel better. Now, the World Health Organization says antibiotics and other life-saving drugs used against many diseases are rapidly losing their effectiveness as bacteria and other microbes develop resistance. Now, I'm not sure what they mean by other microbes, because antibiotics are only effective against bacteria. There are some antiviral drugs, but I'm not sure how effective they are. You know, they had the drug against the flu, Tamiflu, doesn't really make a difference in the course of the illness. Again, the key is to keep your immune system strong. Don't do anything to weaken it. And being aware of the potential also allows you to be forearmed.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, what do you think about doing intravenous vitamin C according to Dr. Reardon's protocol in addition to using the UVLRX? Do you think that that's an important combination?
What was the combination?
Dr. Reardon's intravenous vitamin C protocol.
Well, you know, I'm thinking that I'm seeing such a tremendous response to the UVLRX that I didn't see with vitamin C.
Wow.
you know, that this may even be a better approach. Now, vitamin C is also a form of oxidative therapy as well.
Right.
But I'm thinking that this may even be better. Here's an interesting statistic from the World Health Organization. They state that infectious diseases are the world's leading cause of premature death. Of the 52 million deaths from all causes in 1995, more than 17 million were due to infectious diseases, and about 9 million deaths were in young children. And up to half the world's population, 5.7 billion, are at risk of many endemic diseases. In addition, millions of people are developing cancers. And I should.
A really important sentence.
Right. I should. I'll repeat it again if you missed it. Millions of people, and this is from the World Health Organization, millions of people are developing cancers as a direct result of preventable infections by bacteria and viruses.
Okay, now how would you explain that? Because I have a little viewpoint in my head, but how would you explain that connection?
Well, you know, lately, you know, there's new ways of thinking about things. So I think one of the latest ways of thinking about illness is from the standpoint of mitochondria dysfunction. So the infectious agents affect mitochondrial function. So you disrupt that and you create a pathway for cancers. You could also say that it's creating inflammation. And of course, they've always said chronic inflammation precedes cancer. So I think on a few different levels, you can understand why and bacteria or and viruses can increase the incidence of cancer.
Okay, so just in a very general sense, what I'm thinking is there is such an overwhelming assault to your immune system, to your body's ability to mount an immune response to a different bacteria, to a different virus, that overwhelming stress to the immune system then allows non-self cells to proliferate. And so if you have then also poor nutrition status, and if you have a specific genetic weakness. So it's, in my view, this cascade of unfortunate circumstances ultimately creating a weakness toward developing cancer. But to acknowledge that infectious component, that's so crucially important, and the infection being associated with chronic inflammation. So over and over and over, we see different ways how cancer can become a big issue. And that music means, once again, a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health. Visit JanetCimarelli.com and tune in to hear me on Natural Doc Radio here on WNN Monday through Friday, 10 to 11. Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about infectious components to a wide range of different illnesses and symptoms you may be experiencing.
And we're referring to a report that the World Health Organization had put out, and they stated that viruses, bacteria, and parasites are emerging as the secret agents causing millions of cases of cancer. They estimate, and that's the World Health Organization, that over 1.5 million of the total 10 million new cases a year could be avoided by preventing the infection associated with them. Well, that's kind of strange.
Okay,
what about the other 8.5 million people?
Okay, but preventing the infection or acknowledging the infection and very specifically treating it?
They say about 6.6 million people died from all types of cancer in the year they're referring to. And the three main cancers that are linked to infections, and that's only because they've looked, because I think if you looked harder, you would find an association with infections and cancer. And I have to refer you then to Dr. Livingston, a woman investigator who researched the association of bacteria and the presence of bacteria and cancer, and she found the connection. And also Dr. Alan Cantwell, MD, came up with the same observations as well. And you can Google that, the cancer microbe, and see that for yourself. So the fact that they only found, up to this stage, only three types of cancer associated with infections doesn't mean the other ones aren't either. So anyway, stomach cancer, about 550,000 new cases a year of stomach cancer, about 55% of the worldwide total are attributable to H. pylori. H. pylori is associated with also stomach ulcers and duodenal ulcers and gastritis. Cervical cancer, well, we talked about that earlier. That's the human papillomavirus. There are many types. They're referring here to type 16 and 18. Are the ones that apparently have the highest risk of causing cervical cancer. Of the 529,000 cases reported a year, the viruses are held responsible for an estimated 65% of those occurring in industrialized countries and 87% in developing countries. And then you have liver cancer. About 434,000 cases a year of liver cancer, or 82% of the world total, are attributable to hepatitis B and C viruses. And the viruses are transmitted in a number of ways, through contaminated blood, or blood products, through sexual intercourse. Hepatitis B causes 316,000 of the cases. Hepatitis C, a further 118,000 cases. In some cases, are a result of infections with both viruses. And that's only when they look and do the testing to figure out what's causing it. But how many people go into the hospital getting treated for these things where they don't even bother looking? Because they made the diagnosis of the cancer, they said, okay, we'll just treat it. We're not really interested in what caused it at that point.
So potentially treating the cancer and ignoring the potential for that underlying viral infection is not going to achieve a full recovery for the patient.
Now, of course, the World Health Organization has their recommendations, but for some reason they don't mention ultraviolet blood treatments. They talk about immunizations. We mentioned over 200 different types of infectious diseases, but they only immunize against a couple of them. Diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus, polio, measles, tuberculosis.
And keeping in mind that some of those diseases that they had previously thought were under control, diphtheria, pertussis, and polio, and tuberculosis, are potentially making a comeback.
But here's the other interesting thing that they added, that in addition to immunizations, they say vitamin A and iodine supplements are also recommended.
It's very interesting because most of the clients that I see, when I suggest that they discuss with their physician supporting their iodine status, they say, well, they have already been told by their doctor not to take iodine, that it would have a toxic effect. And I said, well, have you tested your blood levels of iodine? And very often that hasn't been done. So I said, how can your doctor be assured that you have substantive iodine stores and functional iodine in your body? And so we open up that door of discussion.
So I think and I hope that we've elevated the possibility that infectious diseases are really behind a lot of the symptoms we're experiencing. In other words, perhaps because of our better sanitation and nutrition and overall healthier living environments, we're not getting as sick from these infectious agents as they do in other countries because they lack the nutrition and the sanitation, maybe the safe water supply.
So there's, you know, rapid growth of cities with crowded, unhygienic conditions. We have the highest number of refugees ever in the history of the world. And you think about refugee camps and migrant refugees, the conditions that they're dealing with are specifically unhygienic and are literally breeding grounds for infectious disease.
And, of course, the overuse of antibiotics is a real problem. And we recommend, again, reserving antibiotics because it's a double-edged sword. You know, may help. If you have a life-threatening condition, okay, use an antibiotic. But if you don't have a life-threatening condition, let your body get over it naturally.
Remember when American Heart Association was recommending taking antibiotics prophylactically before a tooth cleaning with mitral valve prolapse? But there are very, very, very specific diagnostic criteria for that mitral valve prolapse. And unfortunately, people with very slight mitral valve issues are taking the antibiotics. That's one example of unnecessary, truly uncalled for antibiotic use.
That particular, yes. But these days, with so many artificial hips and knees and everything, those are also potential sites of infection.
Okay, so if someone has an artificial joint and they're going to have a certain treatment or be exposed possibly in traveling, whatever, UVLRX would be a very appropriate approach before whatever treatment or travel. So for people with artificial hips, shoulder replacements, knee replacements, this is an excellent approach to staying well.
And I'm going back to this list. I'm just curious to see. I don't know if you happen to see it.
You're curious to see
if,
which...
Zika virus is on the list originally.
Oh, interesting. We didn't get that far down to the Z's on the list, Dr. Slavin. So
I'm going to just go back there and do it. I'm just curious to see.
Okay. No Zika.
All right. And Zika was discovered in 1946 in Africa. It didn't make this list. That means there are probably a lot of different other viruses that we have potential exposure to that didn't make the list. So we said there's over 217 infectious diseases that we have the potential of being exposed to. And doctors don't check for all of them. So when you feel sick, and he checks for, if he checks anything, he's, you know, they don't, he probably doesn't even check for anything. He says, well, take these symptomatic treatments and you'll get over it after a while. But if you, you know, but then if you don't, then they label you with different diseases that may really be a manifestation of an infectious disease that they haven't drawn a connection with.
Okay, so chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, just as an example.
Iritis, uveitis, cholecystitis, you know, that's a gallbladder attack, pancreatitis. If all these inflammatory conditions probably have an infectious component to them, and it's not being acknowledged, and therefore the treatment doesn't go in that direction. It goes in the direction of surgery in many cases, like the gallbladder. With the pancreas, that's a different story. They don't have any good treatments for that except, you know, don't eat IV fluids and let it subside on its own.
And unfortunately, not addressing that underlying infectious component. That music means we have run out of time here on Natural Doc Radio. We will be back tomorrow at 10. I hope you tune in then. Have a great day.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.